welcome to A Chat in the Garden, where snippets blooms in athletics and sports. And we are celebrating a decade of chatting with Black women in athletics and sports management careers. And today will be no different. But, you know, I would really like to celebrate with some gear. And so we are celebrating with this neon Chat in the Garden hoodie. And, man, this weather changed like a blink of an eye, and I was glad to be able to represent my own brand with my own Chat in the Garden hoodie. We do have some gray hoodies as well, but I just thought the neon would stick out. And really, I use the neon term because that's what the designer called it. But, you know, I like to say something similar to it's green grass stains, meaning that you have been in the arena, you have been in this business, and you're ready for the grind. So that's kind of how I look at it. I call it. Grass stain green. It just means something in our profession. But if you're interested in getting either the gray or the grass stain green, go to seedsofempowermentstore.com. Seedsofempowermentstore.com and celebrate a decade of chatting inside the garden. I'm excited to say that we have a new media partner, and you all just met her last week. Dr. Jam, the NIL Spot Podcast, is our newest media partner. And so the NIL Spot Podcast is a place for parents, student athletes, and coaches to understand the concept of name, image, and likeness in high school and college sports world. The host, Dr. Jam, launched this podcast to show how to highlight the need for athletes to build their brands based on their talent and their personality. Each month she will discuss a new topic or aspects of NIL that caters to the lives and sacrifices student athletes across the sports growth room. Tune in to become educated on NIL Podcast. So you can find NIL Podcast on Spotify, and I would suggest that you follow so that you will get all of the newest podcasts that pop up. And the Soccer is a membership platform that also build upon the NIL, but it takes it from the college because it's for semi-professional athletes and coaches. And so they are helping you, because this was to be honest, I know you're just not going to allow just the students to be able to capitalize on their brand. Coaches have been doing it for years, but I will say most people in our population don't have a book and don't brand themselves. And so, you know, why don't we lead by example? Show them how to take your specialized knowledge and whatnot and how to capitalize that. Capitalize on your level of influence. And so this is an opportunity to learn more how to do more of that. It's similar to me, as I would say, like Toastmasters. You know, almost everybody in Toastmasters want to be able to capitalize on their speaking opportunities. But to be around other people who have the same desire that will help you hone on your craft in that area is crucial. Now, I do want to say that I have just been asked to serve on this board, so that's full disclosure. However, they are paying for this commercial, and so I just want to be able to give full transparency on that. So to get more information about this community of sport industry professionals, go to thesaca, thesaca.com. Again, saca, ACK.com for more information. There was something that occurred this week. I know. Because I'm here in Tidewater, right across the water from Norfolk State. And Norfolk State had an incident that occurred while they traveled. I want to say Midwest. I don't know if it was Iowa or I can't remember who they played. But whoever they played, there was an incident where a player, I want to say the fans were across from the bench, so they're on the other side, and he's on the sidelines, and he gets called the N-word. And the men's basketball coach, you know, is irate. He tries to get the official to address it. And then, next thing I know, the two head coaches are at the center of the official's table, I mean, nose to nose, hands flaring. And then the bench clears. Now, no punches were thrown, but I get it, you know. And my mother and I were talking about it. If I'm 50, this coach is younger than me. So in his mind, this situation is like black and white television. You know, these type of incidents where it did happen and we were taught to ignore it and all that kind of thing. In 2023, there's no place for that. And so it's heartbreaking to see not just the athletes have to go through this, but the coach, because you can just tell that he is emotionally just like, what happened here? How is this still happening? And I'm a leader, how I'm going to protect my kids. And so that's where Alva Amica comes in. I told you she went out and got another certification. And she is about to launch this civility situation, civility in athletics, and really dealing with crowd, okay? Crowd control. How do you control that? And it's really interesting because I was glad to hear that, I don't know if the officials did it or the administrator did, but they did eject the fans from the playing area. Now that, to me, is improvement that it happened immediately, because I would say in the last 10 years we've had these incidents and nothing has happened, then the investigation happens, but there's nothing visible for the young people who are actually playing to see the correction happening immediately. And I believe that is more effective than having a wonderful press release put on top of the TV, you know, social media too, but, you know, how I saw this too was the local news here. Now, I will tell you this, and I did, this comes from a professor standpoint of the, because society has a lot to do with how we perceive things. And so when I saw that on the news and where it was placed in the news and how the newscaster informed it, causes me to have pause. And this is why I think Alva Amica is on point of teaching civility, because you don't know how much that can incite how a media person presents the incident, number one. And we got to point it out Because, again, if you don't, unconscious bias is just what it is. You're not even aware, supposedly, of your words and your placement of the story. And so it was right near a conversation about Harvard and freedom of speech. All the institutions and presidents' conversation about anti-Semitic protests on campuses, and is it allowed? And so it's just like, you got to make sure that you put those lens on to be able to make sure whatever you're doing, even how innocent that you may see, what is the perception that you're given? And this is why this civility education is going to be crucial, and that it can be pointed to in several incidents. So when I tell you I 1,000% support our media partner, Alva Amaker, I do, because even I didn't even know the term civility and how to be able to use it to educate. So, you know, and I do have friends in the media and whatnot, and if it had been strongly on my heart, you know, I would have posed something to them. But understanding that the person, it was a sports story, number one, and the person was very young who did the commentary, but knowing about television, he didn't have anything to do with the placement of it. That's a producer. So for me to be able to be in a position to hit the airwaves, I do want to be able to just be cautious of placement of stories and how it's perceived, because you want to be able to enact change and not incite. And this is the training that Alva has given me. And so I'm really cannot wait for her to launch 100% the civility piece. And it will be part of the Vigilant Safety Training Center. But currently what she has up there is first responder training, sport event staff certification, workplace safety, and personal training and operations. She has a free assessment for colleges and high schools and middle schools, whoever have contests, let's put it like that, so that you can be able to see where your deficiencies are in this area. And she can be able to direct you to resources. This is a much needed resource. Because I'm going back to my incident of where Norfolk State was. Now, I'm curious, you know, I'm hoping that there was a policy in place. That's how the people got ejected so quickly. And the two coaches both get a tag, you know. But again, I always say, even especially my compliance people, you can learn off of somebody else's violation or incident and be able to run it through your policies and procedures, what we do. And I implore everyone that's listening to me to take current issues, especially something like this. And this isn't the first time it's happened. And I will say, I've had Coach Q, she was a coach at Division III. And I think the difference was her young lady had another, the opponents were calling her names, racial terms. And the officials did nothing. And she did not keep her composure. And the conference office penalized her. And so that caused a lot of pause for the institutions and things of that nature. But that was a women's program. Now, let's be honest, you know, this is a men's program, Division I. And what the coach said was he's a winning program. He actually turned out in the beating team. These are things to consider. So I would say, really, get on board with the Vigilant Safety Training Center. I'm not saying it's going to come down your street, but just be prepared for when that vehicle hits. Go to Vigilant, VigilantStc.com. VigilantStc.com. Take this assessment and see where you fall in the spectrum. Surviving the Lights, a professional athlete's playbook to avoid the curse by Dr. Tawana Smith, is a resource I have been pushing out since, I think, 2018. I read it. I learned a lot. And this is before NIL came about. So now that our student athletes are receiving money, because the curse in this sense, what she's talking about, is getting money and losing money and protecting you and knowing. But some of the simplest things, you know, as soon as it's like you win the Super Bowl and then do the commercial, what are you going to do next? And they say they're going to Disney World. Well, when a child signs a contract, especially young men, what did they say? I'm going to buy my mom my house. Well, this book taught me that that may not be the smartest thing to do, especially when just signing does not necessarily mean you made the team. Did not even know that. So some of the things that we just don't know, this is a great resource for you to learn that. Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse, by Dr. Tawana Smith, is on Amazon in three different formats: paperback, audio, and ebook. And I would really suggest you get this book, so because if you're like me, your student athletes are going to come back to you and ask you for your advice. When I was interim athletic director at St. Paul's College, I had a young man to be drafted, and I never forget, he ducked his head inside my office. Hey, Ms. Smith. Well, back then my name wasn't Ms. Smith, but he said, which agent should I go with? People. I was like, dot, dot, dot. I had never had that experience. This was like 1998. And I was like, let me get back to you on that. I said to myself, I need to get some education. Wish I had this book then. Wish I had that book then. He did go on to play professional in the CBA league, but at the time he did get drafted by, I don't even know what they call now, but it was the Toronto Raptors, I think. And then they moved on and moved on. You know how these teams keep changing. But I wasn't able to assist him. So even now I'm able to at least say something intelligent to my young people, and what I say is that you need to get someone that's already in the system. I know you want to get somebody you trust, but somebody you trust doesn't know who to pull the strings, and so got that from reading the book, and I stand by that. So you get the book so that your language with your young people will be a little bit more on point to what's really going on. Seawall Foundation is offering meeting training for student athletes. With name, image, and likeness on deck, this is so important. Candy Waller is the founder of Seawall Sports Entertainment and the CEO of Bowie TV. She's come across some real disturbing situations, and so she wants to be part of the solution. So our players don't have any lights, camera, trying to prepare our student athletes and young people who are playing on these different platforms, preparing them from lights, camera, action. So we don't have any sorry Miss Jackson moments. And I'm excited that this media partner has been able to assist her in getting speaking engagements. One of them is at the upcoming Head to Speak Symposium that's going to take place in D.C. March 16th and 17th, and she will serve as their MC. So I'm just really excited that, you know, the Chattanooga Garden the growth that's happening from the people that are planted here is exponential. And I'm really excited about that. But to utilize these services, I think it's really important, even for grassroots, because our young people, not necessarily they're going to be interviewed by the TV station, they could be interviewed by the local tournament organizers on the so-called red carpet. We want to make sure that they utilize these platforms to their benefit, not their detriment, because what we see from professional athletes, they're using it to tear down their teammates, and that's what the kids see. So we got to auto-correct them immediately. So to get more information on that, go to info at Seawall Foundation. That's CWALLFoundation.org. Again, go to info, I-N-F-O, at Seawallfoundation.org. Well, like I've been mentioning, the seventh issue is in production. It's coming down to the wire, and so that's going to hit the hopefully. I'm hoping that it will be live on Amazon by March 1st. But it is in production, and I'm currently taking individuals for the eighth issue. And the reason why I start so early is a couple of things. But by the time you finish your payment plan for in contributing to the magazine, we will be at the final editing stage. But as you can see, I'm still in the production of editing articles now. So unfortunately, if you want the early birds and be still waiting, those who just come on, I'll hold up the whole magazine. So get on the early bus. Contact me to get in the next magazine. And it's really, really kind of crucial because you're going to hear today that if you are trying to get to your next, contributing to this magazine will help, number one, gather your thoughts about your specialized knowledge and what do you bring to the institution or the company that you're trying to go to, because it will allow you to have more than an elevator speech. It will allow you to be able to be seen as an expert and a person that can solve issues because you solve issues someplace else. You know, it's interesting because most people think people want to know what have you done. No, people want to know, can you solve that problem? Can you identify that problem and assist? And so the magazine becomes your evidence that you've been able to identify a problem or been brought a problem and create a solution that enhance the institution or the company. And so this is why I created this, because many, many, many people would come to me and say, how do I get? I said, well, what are you known for? And it actually works, as you will find out today. But I'm really looking for working with, because with this, the money, mostly money goes to the designer. And as you can see, the magazine is fabulous. And it goes toward the expert marketing sessions that I will give you to help drive you. I just sent and here's the thing, as a great professional, you know, you may not know how to position yourself as an expert other than what you just know. So I just sent back a draft this morning and just said, this is great, but we got to tell a story. Because you know I'm an SID at heart. So in order to grab people's attention, people just don't want knowledge. They want you to take them on a journey. So the story allows you to take them on a journey and then bring them back to tell them how I can take you and fix this for you. So that's what you have to do. So if you are interested in this, please email me at MoniqueAJSmith@SeasonEmpowerment.info, or you can just, you know, inbox me. Looking forward to that. And all previous copies, we have six issues already on Amazon. So just go to Significance in Athletics and Sports, and all six copies will appear. I just gave one of my interns all six copies. I didn't even realize that the young lady wasn't getting them. I said, oh, goodness. So I think, and she's in college. She's a junior. And I gave it to her so she could maybe see the different careers that she can go into to build her confidence up. So I really implore you to kind of do the same thing. If you have someone that you know that, you know, just don't know where they fit in, this will spark an interest. Because, again, you don't know you can be here until you can see it. So go get your copies today. Consider to be in the magazine inbox. So now comes the time to bring my current client to the stage. I'm extremely excited about bringing this young lady because I'm extremely proud. Janelle Saunders, Corporate Sales Specialist at the Washington Mystics. Welcome to the garden, Janelle.
Thank you for having me.
I am so excited because you have got a beautiful story for our garden members. But first, to everyone about your journey from college to your current position.
Yeah, so I am a 2017 graduate of Winston-Salem State University, where I studied sport management. And since then, I have kind of maneuvered all over. So after graduation,
step by step.
Okay. So graduated 2017, also had a postgraduate internship at the CIAA office. So Winston-Salem State is a CIAA affiliate. From there, I chose to continue my education where I moved back home. I am from Washington, D.C., and I studied sport management at the George Washington University where I got my master's degree. From there, while in school, I actually started working. I was studying sports, and then I chose to work in retail for a bit just to kind of just for, you know, a part-time opportunity. So I was working in retail, and I was actually a beauty advisor starting out at Ulta Beauty. And from there, I graduated with my master's degree in 2019. And as everyone knows, a few months after that, everything changed. So I was working part-time, and then I ended up staying there and working full-time where I moved up into management. So I was promoted 4 times in the 3 years that I was there, and I chose that used that opportunity to kind of grow within myself, what my leadership style would be, having a team working under me and everything, and also use that time during the pandemic because there were so many hiring freezes to just kind of develop on the sports side as well. So I use that as opportunities to, you know, speak to people that were in the sports field already and people that were inspiring to me, one of who actually introduced me to Ms. Smith here. And that's kind of how I became a member of the Advanced Academy. So use that opportunity to kind of grow and figure out what my path was going to be in sports and how I was going to find my way back to sports. I'm still working at Ulta at this point. So I built my resume. And it wasn't until a few months into the Advanced Academy that after some discussions and we decided that I probably needed to just like shift my focus a bit. So prior to Advanced Academy, I had no interest, no desire really of sports. Of sales. So I didn't ever think that I would end up in sales. And it's about almost a year since the pandemic and everything started. And I was applying and applying. And then this opportunity with the Washington Mystics presented itself to me. the oddest of stories of how everything happened. But took on the role, was hired probably within about 3 days. It was a very quick process for me. And I initially applied there to be in membership services. And after speaking with the hiring manager at the time, as well as the team president, they both felt like I had the personality and I would fit perfectly into their sales team, and asked me if I would be interested in shifting over from membership services and would like to be considered for sales. Hesitantly, I said yes, because I was very interested in working for the WNBA, working for the Mystics, and it's taken off since then. So we have a very small team, but since then we've been very successful. We've had probably two of the most successful Mystics seasons in the Mystics history, especially the 2023 season, which we just wrapped up. So I started off there as just an account executive for ticket sales, where my focus was primarily the Mystics, but also the NBA G League affiliate of the Washington Wizards, the Capital City Go-Go. And since then, I have now shifted my focus to full-time Mystics and moved into a specialty area, which is now the corporate sales role that I am in. And so I still sell full menu and I'm able to assist in all departments, but my primary focus is finding and developing relationships for new business. So that's one area. We of course have sponsors and everything that are in a team that works with our corporate partners. However, on the smaller scale, that is one of the areas where we kind of historically have lacked with the businesses. So in terms of, you know, companies that are using season tickets or using hospitality spaces to host events and things like that, it's been primarily business to consumer. So everything has been primarily consumer based, and now we want to kind of figure out how that approach and focus is going to be on the business to business in the business to business space. So that is my my primary responsibility now here with the Mystics, and I have been really embracing and enjoying the journey here and a lot of the opportunities that it has presented me so far, and it was definitely the best decision that I could have made for myself when I think back on, you know, how hesitant I even was to enter into the sales role and where I am now. Like, I've completely shifted in. Like, I am pro sales, of course, and I always tell people it's a wonderful place to start. Especially even if you're still trying to figure things out, it's always a great place to start, but it gives you so much insight on building relationships, generating revenue and things, like all things that you need in any space. So it's been great.
But thank you for that insight. I want to dive a little bit into that, because that's one of the reasons why in the Advanced Academy we do mental first. Mm-hmm. We concentrate on mindset, growth mindset versus fixed mindset. And yep. You can tell everybody how I drilled that. So,
definitely did.
But I want you, yeah, and I'm so glad. Now, mind you, my drilling may be a little bit too hard, and I do apologize. But why do you think that you were so hesitant about sales? Is it the socialization that you think? It's the same way I think people think about politics. I don't want to take that position because I don't want to deal with politics. I don't want to take a sales job because I don't want to seem salesy. Can you, like, demonetize that whole crazy thought first?
Yeah. So I think for me, I didn't want to do sales. I didn't think I wanted to be in the sales, because I initially just took every sales position as like an inside sales program and thinking that it was, you know, very much an entry level like role, and not knowing that there, like, and thinking that there wasn't any growth there. So I think that that was the main thing for me. Like, obviously there is kind of like a stigma when it comes to being like being in sales, especially, and it can be, it's challenging on in any sport. But I think my initial thought was like inside sales, inside sales. And when I say inside sales, I'm referring specifically to, you know, the 80 to 100 calls a day. And like, you're just kind of just, you know, just knocking those calls out. And that's like the prime, that's the goal there. It's just a, like, it's a huge volume play. And not knowing that when I was coming into my role with the Mystics, that it was not an, it wasn't an entry level inside sales position at all. So obviously, you know, there are, you know, sales standards and, you know, numbers and things like that that are, we have for goals. However, it's completely different than any other, than like an inside sales program in the sense of the stability of the position. It's not, you know, one of those, oh, you're not making, you're not, you know, you're not making enough calls, you're not doing this, and you kind of have to matriculate through that program very quickly. So that's where, when I realized that coming in, that's when it kind of started to shift for me. But then a lot of the opportunities that I've been getting so far, when it comes to the type of selling that we're doing here with the Mystics, and the opportunities that we present to other people, that's really when I have like completely fallen in love with the process. Like, you know, the entire process of building the starting the initial relationship and building on that relationship. I now have so many clients in my book of business that are repeat customers that come back to me every season for whatever it may be. But I think that the main thing, it was just that I had that inside sales. I had a lack of knowledge even about what inside sales was, but I thought that it just meant like, oh, you're just here just for a short time to make a lot of phone calls. And even seeing now with our inside sales program on the Washington Wizards side, it's not like that at all. A lot of those inside sales candidates, those are the first people that are usually considered for any full-time positions that open up. So it's actually a like great feeder program into those full-time roles. So it is an entry level and a starting point, but it is a great feeder system into our senior sales and our membership services role. But I had no knowledge of that going in.
See, this is why, and so you say you know knowledge, but here you are with an undergrad degree and a master's degree in sports management, and you didn't have knowledge of that. That's why it's important to join things like Advanced Academy, because you don't know this yet, but I'm going to have you teach them about sales in the group. Because, again, what you learn in undergrad and grad may not be what actually happens. Can you just tell me? Because the part that gets me is that, I continue to go back to this, you are retail, which requires sales. What's the difference between that and what you're doing?
Not a lot, honestly. I mean, it's just a different product.
So
I was able to kind of that was great leverage for me as well when coming into the position, because I was already familiar with the aspect of selling, and even working in retail, there are goals there as well. So, you know, you get a sales number, a daily goal, a weekly goal, and me being in management there, I'm able to actually like fully see the breakdown of all the numbers and things like that. So it's all very similar.
Exactly. So I'm going to say that, because you didn't mention this part, you were also in the Significance Athletics and Sports magazine, where I did have you talk about the comparison, which I think built your confidence up to go and say yes to an offer that you didn't even apply for. Would you agree to that?
Yes, for sure. I was able to, being in the magazine and kind of, and writing that comparison there and actually putting it on paper is really when I realized that, you know, there wasn't too much different. And at least me being in a sales role for a team like the Mystics, I'm actually now in a space where I am enjoying what I do, and it pays off, because when I actually do work those games, now I'm actually able to see the work that I've been putting in for how many weeks it may have taken for me to, you know, close on a sale or whatever it may be. I'm actually able to see that. So when it comes to, you know, selling experiences and things like that, especially like to kids or like office parties and things like that, seeing everybody out having a good time. So now I'm actually getting to experience, like see their experience and enjoy everything. So instead of just going in day to day and just selling those products that I was selling when I was in retail, now I'm selling a product, I'm selling an experience, and I actually get to see it.
Wow. Wow. And so even if you're talking about professional, I can see your colleagues, your classmates that are on the collegiate side could learn from you. Oh, my goodness. You know, because the whole thing is that you're selling an experience. Yeah, yeah, because people don't even ask if they win or lost when they buy the season tickets. Uh-oh, something going on. Are you moving? Janelle? I hear a whole lot of static.
Is that better?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so I'm going to go to break in a second, but I want to ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to the discouraged professional who has internshipped themselves out and is frustrated about finding full-time position? What do you say to them?
I always just say to never give up, but I am huge on telling everybody to not necessarily say no to being open to different experiences. I think especially when it comes to working in sports, a lot of us have, you know, and I think we have an idea of exactly what our plan is supposed to look like and what our road is supposed to look like, but you know, every path is going to be different, and sometimes you have to create your own. So you have to be open to a different experience that you had that you may not have even, you know, necessarily thought about. Internships are definitely, you know, it's difficult to have to just keep doing internship after internship after internship, but those things definitely do help and build on that resume. But I would just say just continue to apply, but also be open to other opportunities, because sometimes what it may be is if you are only applying to, I don't know, like compliance roles or something like that, maybe you might want to consider being open to something else. So I always just tell everybody, just be open to what's out there, to seeing what's out there, because I know for myself, had I said no to my role and said, no, I don't want to be considered for the sales role, I may not have gotten the membership services role, and then I would not have even gotten the opportunity to be where I am right now and to be working for the WNBA, which has probably been the best experience for me.
Well, I just told a former Hampton student, just got her master's, I think, from Columbia, and I had a potential person who wants to be, I think, in the magazine, and she told me she worked for the New York Liberty, I think, and she was talking and was like, she wouldn't say she was overwhelmed, but she would say, you know, she was so busy, and I was like, okay, let me throw in my girl, you know what I mean? I said, well, I have a young lady who's looking for work, got a master's degree. She said, well, have her to apply, and I'll make a flag with the HR. So then when I told the young lady, she said, well, only thing they have, and I didn't even look to see what she said. I said, apply anyway. So we all gonna see how that turns out. You know, because based on my experience and especially just thinking about you, you know, you just never know what they may turn out to be, you know. And I think she's similar. You know, she stayed at home. So it's not like the money is the issue. Okay, I do. So when we come back from break, I want to talk about should money and when should money be a deciding factor. I'm hearing them a lot. And so we're going to just take a short break here in the chat in the garden. Are you ready to take your name, image, and likeness to a new level? You know, your brand. Then look no further than the Semi-Professional Athlete and Coaches Association, the SACA. Whether you're a collegiate or professional athlete, coach, or athletic director, you'll want to join our vibrant community of sports industry professionals and unlock a world of excitement, possibilities, and opportunities. For more information, visit our website at www.thesaca.com. That's THESACA.com. And get your branding game on with the SACA.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith. I want to ask the money question. All right, and I'm going to ask the question because it's not popular what I'm about to say, but I have a concern where people put their worth tied to the money. Can we talk about that? Because, again, sales deals with money, but how does it relate to what you do?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a challenging experience when you think that everything is about money. Like, that makes everything very difficult when it comes to applying for positions. You pass on a lot of great opportunities if you see, you know, sometimes if you see like what they may be offering. But for me, I know that it was not necessarily a factor for me, and I do understand them. A lot of people they're not in the same situation as I was when deciding to take this role, because I was still living home with my mom at that time, and I was comfortably able to take a pay cut to do what I wanted to do. And that's the other thing. So me leaving, I actually was getting paid more working as a manager at Ulta than the initial offering that I got to take my job in sales. But that is how much I knew that I wanted to transition and finally get my opportunity into sports. So I would say, but it's definitely not everything. And I know that we even have some newer people that have come onto our team. And, you know, a lot of sales jobs, especially in sports in general, initial pay is not always going to be great. A lot of the time that money is going to come with experience in your organization. So since then, I have been promoted. So I've gotten an increase on my base, but also in a job like in a sales role, it's highly based on success as well. So, you know, the base number for someone that's interested in sales actually is going to be a lot smaller, but not one that you should necessarily be like bogged down to, because if you do your job well, the money will come. And that's on both sides. So even if you are in a role in like a marketing position, or, you know, on like a different team or something like that, where it isn't as much commission based, when you do your job well and it gets noticed, then the more money will come, because that you get, you know, there are opportunities for growth in a lot of organizations like mine. So I would say definitely don't go into a job search looking at the bottom line of what the pay is going to be, because that could be more harmful in that entire process.
Yeah, because if you really enjoy what you do, then definitely your check will increase, because
exactly.
You're going to do a fantastic job at it.
Exactly. So if that's really what you want to do, you know, you have to be willing to, you know, accept that initial pay and know and go into it knowing that this is where I want to be, this is what I want to do. It's definitely going to be hard if it's, you know, you're taking a position that you have really no interest in or something like that. But for me, it was completely different, because I knew, like, at the end of the day that I wanted to work in sports. That's what I went to school for, and that's where my focus was. So for me, it wasn't really an issue at all when I knew that I was taking less money. But that's how desperately I wanted to, you know, take on that opportunity.
I think that's so fantastic you sharing that part, because as you're talking, I can hear our conversations in my head, you know, and no, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to do that. And I said,
yep.
But it was more about the process, so
it
that
was,
when
yep.
the right thing happened, you already knew what to say and knew what you, because again, you see how you say it now. I know I want to be in this. And, That's really great. That's really great. So you spoke about the Advanced Academy. So for one who's on the fence about joining the Advanced Academy, what is your message to them? And we already spoke about how it helped you land your job, but just share. I think we did a lot of one-on-ones. So I have split it out now. So for the one-on-one, it's executive coaching. And you didn't do much of the Advanced Academy, which is the group piece. You might have dropped in and out, you know, with that. So just kind of talk about how it helped you.
Yeah, the Advanced Academy was definitely the initial shift in my focus happened. So our one-on-ones were probably one of the, like, better parts of the week, just trying to, you know, plan out what my process was going to be, because, like you've already mentioned, I've...
Oh, hold on. You go into a hole. Come back.
Uh-oh. How about now?
Okay, let's start. Yeah.
Okay.
The one-on-ones
yeah.
were good, and then what you say after that?
The one-on-ones were probably one of the better parts, like, was the best part of the week for me, because I knew that I was going into it, you know, for planning, because we had established what the goal was going to be. And you've already mentioned that my mindset was completely different than what it is now when we first started. And that was the primary thing, was to change our mindset. And, you know, we discussed on so many things we talked about, you know, the pay, and we talked about, you know, not necessarily wanting to be in sales and things like that. And the one-on-ones were really important for me, because I needed that. Like you've already mentioned, you were kind of hard. You're kind of hard on us sometimes, but that's exactly what I needed to really kind of like shift my focus. And then even when I do pop in for the group sessions, those are like really great experiences just to kind of like hear what some, like so many of the other members are doing. I mean, you have people in all different walks within your program. So that's always super interesting too. It's a great way to network as well. I know I've definitely, you know, reached out to a few people via LinkedIn and things like that, like after some of the group meetings, just to say, hey, but it's a great place for you to just kind of have like a little bit of comfort in knowing that everybody's path is going to be different. And you can hear that, you hear people's mm-hmm. stories and you hear people's successes and what they have going on and some of the challenges that they may have faced. So it's a really great safe space. So anybody on the fence about it, you know, whether that for the group and with the one-on-one executive coaching, I mean, you kind of get best of both worlds with the program.
Thank you so much. Do you ever watch any of the videos? Because that's the thing, every meeting goes into a vault and you can watch. I think I did tell you to watch them. I can do your one-on-ones, and I said, did you watch this?
Yeah, we did. So I would go in sometimes watch some of those, play some of those back. Definitely some of the ones, like when I was working through my resume and things like that, so like the resume class was a really good one. But yeah, we would go back and we would go over some of like what was going in our one-on-one and kind of discuss the back some classes.
Ooh, you're breaking up real bad, child. I don't know what's going on. We almost at the end. But the reason why I wanted to tell you that, because I had someone this week to ask me what is the curriculum, and I said, well, I do an assessment with you at the beginning, and I can direct you to which ones to watch. So
yeah.
it is personalized, even though it is a group piece. And so,
yeah.
So that's good. I want to say thank you publicly to treating us to a grand time at the Mixers Games. We had a great time. I keep telling folks, I said membership has its privilege. And so I want to say thank you. I'm extremely proud of you, and just look forward to continue to cheer for you from the stands.
Oh, well, thank you, and I really appreciate it.
No problem. And I want to say thank you to Jonlyn Harrison of Refined Solutions for being my eyes and ears. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for updates on showcasts and podcast follow-ups, join us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, and have a significant rest of the day.